Hello, Stuart and Jodie here at Carey Baptist Church in Malton. Good to have you with us online to worship together. Let's commit this time to God in prayer. Let us pray. Father, you are with us at all times and in all places, and we pause to remind ourselves of your presence with us. And I pray for everyone who is engaging and listening online, that you would pour out your spirit upon each person, that they would meet and encounter you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Our readings from the book of Job 33, verses 14 to 18. For God does speak, now one way, now another, though no one perceives it. In a dream, in a vision of the night, when deep sleep falls on people as they slumber in their beds, he may speak in their ears and terrify them with warnings, to turn them from wrongdoing and keep them from pride, to preserve them from the pit, their lives from perishing by the sword. Amen. Let's pray. Lord, as we continue with our series and reflect upon your word, we pray that you would speak your living word to us. In Jesus' name, we pray. We're continuing with our series on hearing God's word, which is based on the book How to Hear God, A Simple Guide for Normal People by Pete Gregg. We've looked at so far about how we hear God's word or God's voice in Jesus, the Bible, in prayer, in prophecy, and in the whisper of silence. And this week we're on our sixth in the series, and it's about hearing God's whisper in dreams and the unconscious. One of the great presidents of the United States, Abraham Lincoln, said these words: "If we believe the Bible, we must accept the fact that in the old days, God and his angels came to men in their sleep and made themselves known in dreams." There are over 130 references to dreams in the Bible. To mention a few, you've got Jacob, Joseph, Samuel, Solomon, and then you've got a whole lot of warning dreams about Jesus's birth. So when Jesus was born, it says this in Pete Gregg's book. And so, of course, when we step into the New Testament, dreams continue and even increase. Read carefully and you'll see that the familiar narratives of Jesus' birth, which we celebrate at Christmas, is in fact the story of a remarkable series of dreams. It was in a dream that Joseph received reassurance to marry Mary and instruction to name the baby Jesus in Matthew 1. 20 to 21. It was in a dream that the wise men from the east were warned to avoid King Herod on their journey home in Matthew 2:12. It was in a dream that Joseph was urged to flee with his fledgling family to Egypt in Matthew 2:13. And in another dream that he was told to return in Matthew 2:19. And we could go on. We've got Paul and Peter, who also had dreams and visions. So it's quite widespread within the Old and New Testament. We may think we're not in the same category as these aforementioned great men and women, but we all dream, even if we don't always remember our dreams. And why can't God choose to speak to us sometimes in our dreams? We usually process things in our subconscious as we sleep, and may be more open to God in our sleep when our defences are down. I have some weird dreams sometimes, but when I dream about people, I can take it as a nudge to pray for these people, if they're still alive, or to get in touch with them to see how they are doing. I had a dream the other week about a friend of mine called Rodolfo, who is a Baptist minister in Nicaragua. In the dream, he was asking me for money, a thing that he has never done. So I sent him a Facebook message asking him how he was and if he was in any economic need. He said no more than usual and that he was okay and didn't need any money. But I told him not to be ashamed to ask if he was ever in need in the future. Was my dream wrong or misguided? No, it prompted me to reconnect with a friend, and I'm sure my concern for him blessed him that day. Since reading this chapter in Pete Gregg's book and another book that I read this week by Russ Parker called Visions in the Night, Hearing God in Your Dreams, which looks at different examples from the Old and New Testament of people having dreams in the Bible, I've taken more seriously to commending my dreams and my sleep to God before I go to sleep. As my head is laying on my pillow, I commend my time of dreaming and sleeping into God's care, that he may use that to speak to me in some way. And if you haven't tried that yourself, I recommend the practice. And who knows what will come of it. Let's look briefly at our reading from Job, Job 33:14-18. We have the youngster Elihu, who is offering advice to Job. Not all good advice, but here there is some good advice. In verse 14, he says that God speaks in many ways. For God does speak, now one way, now another, though no one perceives it. And he mentions specifically sleep and dreams in verse 15. In a dream, in a vision of the night, when deep sleep falls on people as they slumber in their beds. So in sleep, while they're dreaming, God can speak to people. And what does he do in these times? He can warn them in verse 16. He may speak in their ears and terrify them with warnings. So we may be warned by God to avoid certain situations or people, or warned about the path we are on. And in verse 17, it says to keep them from wrongdoing and to keep them from pride. So if we're doing something wrong, then God may remind us in our dreams, in our subconscious. We may be disturbed in different ways. And also if we're being proud in different ways, then God can challenge us in those respects. And God's purpose is to keep us safe, to save our lives. In verse 18, it says to preserve them from the pit, their lives by perishing from the sword. So in a sense, God wants to keep us safe and on the right paths. Some of you may not remember your dreams, but we can all have dreams, like William Carey here, dreaming of being a missionary and dreaming of world evangelization. Or Martin Luther King Jr., dreaming of a different America and a different world, free from racism, poverty, and war. The late deceased South African Bishop Desmond Tutu talks about God having a dream for us. And God's dream is that you and I and all of us will realize that we are family, that we are made for togetherness, for goodness, and for compassion. We all need to learn to dream again. Many of our dreams have been broken in recent years. And it is very tough being a Christian in the UK post-pandemic. I dare say it's tough in other parts of the world, in the USA as well. I'm saying that because we've got some guests from the USA at our church on Sunday visiting. In general, in a lot of churches, and certainly in our congregation, numbers are down, people are become more frail and can't get out so easily. And there's economic challenges with budget deficits as a church, or the rising cost of living for us all, or lack of volunteers to do certain roles and jobs that people have done in the past. And many people have got out the habit of gathering for worship. And there's a general falling away that less people are going to church than pre-pandemic. And it's easy to get discouraged and disheartened, even disillusioned. We need another Pentecost, and to be reminded of the words of the Apostle Peter in Acts chapter 2, verse 17, where he says, quoting the prophet Joel, "In the last days, God says, I will pour out my spirit on all people. Your sons and your daughters will prophesy, your young men will see visions, and your old men will dream dreams." Seeing visions and dreaming dreams. We need new visions and new dreams inspired by the Spirit. We may get them in our sleep or when we are awake, but we can pray for them and expect them. Let us now turn to God and pray for our dreaming. Let us pray. Lord, we pray that when we sleep at night, that you would speak to us through our subconscious, that you would pour out your spirit upon us and speak through our dreams. And when we are awake, that you will give us new dreams and visions of your future for your church and for your creation and for the world, that we may be inspired to you by you in the same way that you poured out the Spirit on the early church, that they dreamed new dreams and had new visions. May you do the same for us in our day. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Okay. Let's turn to God in prayer. Let us pray. There is no such thing as Jew and Greek, for all of you are one person in Christ Jesus. Loving God, three in one and one in three, we pray for the breaking down of barriers between Christians, barriers of race, of culture, of denomination, of tradition, of theology. We belong to Christ. Make us one in him. There is no such thing as slave and free man, for you are all one person in Christ Jesus. Loving God, three in one and one in three, we pray for the breaking down of barriers between Christians, barriers of class, of income, of power. We pray especially for the rail dispute in the UK. We pray for a fair and just settlement between Network Rail and the government and the RMT union. We belong to Christ. Make us one in him. There is no such thing as male and female, for you are one person in Christ Jesus. Loving God, three in one and one in three, we pray for the breaking down of barriers between Christians, barriers of gender, of age, of physical and mental ability. we belong to Christ. Make us one in him. And in a moment's silence, we bring our own needs and concerns to the Lord. Loving God, in Christ's name we pray, break down the barriers of fear, distrust, and pride. Amen. And I'll close with a blessing. Go now into God's world with love and peace and joy and hope in your hearts. And the blessing of God, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit be upon you and remain with you this day and always. Amen. Thank you for joining with us. Go well and God bless.